Get ready. Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is almost here. It's Black Friday in July, and it's coming your way. For 5 days only, score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair. Plus amazing doorbuster deals and free shipping on everything. Yes, everything right to your door. So mark your calendars. Wayfair's Black Friday in July sale starts July 24th. Shop everything home at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is a True Crime in Real Time update from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
There's an old saying in small southern towns, some people have money, others have power. But the ones you really have to watch out for are the ones who have both. For 100 years, the Murdoch family didn't just have money, they had power, real power. The kind that doesn't just open doors, it locks them behind you. The kind that doesn't just get you out of trouble, it makes sure you never face trouble in the first place. And in Hampton County, South Carolina, where the roads are long and the memories are longer, the Murdoch name was law. This wasn't just a rich family. This was a dynasty. Three generations of Murdoch men held the title of 14th Circuit Solicitor, meaning they weren't just lawyers. They were the top prosecutors deciding who went to prison and who went free across five counties. From 1920 to 2006, if you committed a crime in the Lowcountry, there was a good chance a Murdoch had the power to decide your fate. They ran the courts, they ran a powerhouse law firm, and they had deep personal relationships with law enforcement. The family didn't just know the police, they were the police, at least in an unofficial but very real way. And in a town like Hampton, where everyone knows everyone, the unwritten rule was simple. You don't go against the Murdoughs. That's the world Paul Murdoch was born into. Paul was the youngest son of Alex Murdoch, the last in a long line of men who built their reputation on being the ones who handed down consequences, but never the ones who faced them. Paul grew up wealthy, privileged, sheltered in a way most people couldn't imagine. He had the family name, the money, the massive hunting estates, the boats, the private schools. But along with all that, he had something even more dangerous. The belief that consequences were for other people. People who knew Paul described him as having two personalities. When he was sober, he was funny, charming, and well-liked. But when he drank, a different person came out. A darker person. One who was mean, aggressive, and reckless. And the thing about Paul was, he drank a lot. He was known for getting blackout drunk and acting completely out of control. Friends said he'd get loud, violent, and dangerous. He'd pick fights, get physical, push people, sometimes even his own girlfriend. And when he got into that state, he had a nickname, Timmy. That was the name people used when Paul got so drunk he lost control. Timmy was the version of Paul who got belligerent. Timmy was the one who broke things, yelled at people, picked fights, and did things Paul might not even remember the next morning. And here's the problem. When your last name is Murdoch, there are no consequences for being Timmy. Paul never got in trouble for his drinking. No arrests, no real punishment, no accountability. The police didn't stop him. His family didn't stop him. It was an open secret, and the people closest to him knew it was only a matter of time before something terrible happened. And then came February the 24th, 2019. But before we get there, we need to talk about Mallory Beach, the person whose life would be stolen that night. Mallory Beach wasn't just another teenager from Hampton County. She was one of those people everyone loved to be around. She was 19 years old, a bright, beautiful girl with an infectious personality. She loved animals. She loved her family. And she had her whole life ahead of her. She was dating Anthony Cook, a local guy who was close with Paul and his group of friends. On February 23rd, 2019, Mallory had no idea she was stepping into a story that would be told and retold in courtrooms, documentaries, and headlines across the country. She thought she was just going out with friends for a fun night on the water. She had no way of knowing that when she got on that boat, she would never come back. The night of the crash, six people were on a 17-foot Sea Hunt boat owned by Alex Murdoch. Along with Paul and Mallory, there were Anthony Cook, Mallory's boyfriend, who would later describe that night as the worst night of his life. Connor Cook, Anthony's cousin, who would be badly injured and later find himself caught in the middle of a legal nightmare. Morgan Doughty, Paul's girlfriend, who had been on the receiving end of his drunken rages before. Miley Altman, a friend of Mallory's, who would witness events unfold in a way no one could ever forget. This wasn't some random group of strangers. These were tight-knit friends who had spent countless nights together. They had been drinking before. They had been out on the water before. But this night was different because this night, Paul Murdaugh was drunk, and he was about to make the kind of decisions that get people killed. In South Carolina, boating under the influence, BUI, is illegal. Just like driving under the influence, DUI. The same rules apply. If you're impaired, you can't legally operate a boat. But there's a problem. Unlike with cars, there's no mandatory boating license requirement in South Carolina. That means anyone can legally drive a boat, no training, no test, no license needed. And if you think that's insane, just wait. It gets worse. South Carolina has some of the weakest enforcement laws in the country when it comes to boating under the influence. Unlike a DUI on land, where officers can pull you over for suspected impairment, on the water, you pretty much have to crash before anyone can stop you. Even when crashes happen, BUI cases can be surprisingly hard to prosecute because there are no clear-cut lanes, no traffic cameras, and no routine patrols. Everything comes down to witness statements and the strength of the investigation. And if there's one thing we know about the Murdaughs, it's that investigations involving them didn't always go by the book. This wasn't just about one night of drinking. This was about a culture that allowed it. A system where Paul Murdaugh could do whatever he wanted without consequences. He wasn't the first teenager in South Carolina to drink underage and make reckless choices. But he was one of the few who could do it openly, without fear of getting caught. Because if you're Paul Murdaugh and you get pulled over, the police know your last name. If you start a fight at a party, your family can make it go away. If you're drunk and causing a scene, it's not your problem, it's everyone else's. That was the world Paul Murdaugh lived in. And on February 23rd, 2019, he stepped onto his family's boat, drunk, angry, and out of control. The people with him that night didn't know it yet. But they were about to experience the deadliest consequence of that privilege. And in just a few hours, one of them wouldn't make it home. It started with a beer run. Paul Murdaugh, 19 years old, walked into Parker's convenience store in Ridgeland, South Carolina, and walked out with enough alcohol to fuel a night of bad decisions. Not that he should have been able to, he wasn't 21. But when your last name is Murdaugh, that's just a technicality. He wasn't even using his own ID. The driver's license he handed to the cashier belonged to his older brother, Buster, who looked enough like Paul to pass a quick glance. And that's all it took. The cashier rang him up, no questions asked. Surveillance footage later showed Paul at the counter, buying the alcohol that would set the night in motion. Beer. White Claws. More than enough to make sure no one on that boat was thinking clearly by the time it mattered most. The drinks were loaded into a cooler on board Alex Murdaugh's 17-foot Sea Hunt boat, which Paul had been using freely that night. The plan was simple. Head out to a party at a riverside oyster roast, have some drinks, have some laughs, and then get home safe. But safe was never an option when Paul was drinking. By the time they got to the party, the alcohol was already flowing. Paul, Mallory Beach, Anthony Cook, Connor Cook, Morgan Dowdy, and Miley Altman, six close friends, young, carefree, and completely unaware that only five of them would make it home. People at the Oyster Roast later described the group as having a good time. Nothing out of the ordinary. Drinking, talking, laughing. But some noticed Paul drinking heavily. More than usual. Paul had already developed a reputation for drinking like he was trying to prove something to the alcohol itself. It wasn't just casual fun, it was excess. And when he drank, he changed. His girlfriend, Morgan Dowdy, had seen it before. She'd been on the receiving end of his anger before. Slurred words turning into shouted insults turning into hands grabbing her a little too hard. That night, it was just words. But the night wasn't over. At some point, people at the party started noticing that Paul was getting louder, that his eyes had that glassy, detached look of someone who had crossed the line from fun drunk to bad drunk. He was wobbling, stumbling, doing that thing where he tried to act like he was in control, even though it was obvious he wasn't. And then Paul made a decision that would change everything. Instead of calling it a night, he insisted on taking the boat back out. The group had options. They could have called an Uber. They could have caught a ride with someone sober. They could have done anything else, but Paul wasn't having it. This was his boat, his night, his call. And when Paul made up his mind, no one argued. At least, no one argued in a way that changed the outcome. At around midnight, the group left the oyster roast, making their way back to the dock where the boat was tied up. But instead of heading straight home, Paul had one more stop in mind. He wanted another drink. He steered the boat toward Luther's Rare and Well Done, a waterfront bar in downtown Beaufort. The others were against it. They just wanted to go home. But Paul wouldn't let it go. When the boat pulled up to the dock outside Luther's, Paul and Connor Cook jumped out and went inside. Mallory, Anthony, Morgan, and Miley stayed behind, sitting in the boat and waiting. Surveillance footage from inside the bar later showed exactly what happened. Paul and Connor walked up to the bar, ordered rounds of shots, and paid with Alex Murdaugh's credit card. Paul was already wasted, but he drank anyway, because that's what he did. By the time they stumbled back out onto the dock, Paul was slurring his words. He tripped. He nearly fell. The security cameras caught all of it. And then they got back on the boat, and that's when things really started falling apart. As the boat sped away from Beaufort, the tension ratcheted up. Paul's behavior was unraveling fast. He started screaming at Morgan. It wasn't just an argument. It was one of those fights where everyone in the room suddenly goes quiet. Morgan later said he was saying horrible things to her. Things she wouldn't even repeat. And it wasn't just words. At some point, Paul got in her face. He pushed her. He spit on her. Everyone else was trying to stay out of it, trying not to poke the bear. Anthony and Mallory were at the back of the boat, watching this whole thing unfold. And that's when Anthony spoke up. He looked at Paul and told him to knock it off. Paul did not like that. He turned his attention to Anthony. And for a second, it looked like he was going to come after him next. But then, something even worse happened. Paul let go of the wheel, and the boat was still moving. For a few seconds, no one was driving. Connor reached for the controls, trying to grab the wheel and get things back under control. But then Paul snapped back into focus. He pushed Connor's hand away, and then he did something that sealed Mallory Beach's fate. He shoved the throttle forward. The boat lurched forward violently, and then impact. At exactly 2:20 a.m., the boat slammed into a bridge piling at full speed. The force of the impact was brutal. The boat was destroyed. Mallory Beach and Anthony Cook were launched into the water. The rest were thrown around inside the boat, hitting metal and fiberglass at high speed. Connor Cook shattered his jaw. Morgan Doty was covered in cuts and bruises. Paul, the one who caused it all, got up like nothing had happened. The people still on board were screaming. "Where's Mallory?" Mallory was gone. Anthony was screaming her name, diving into the dark water, frantically searching. No sign of her, no sound, just darkness. And then the realization that hit everyone at the same time. Mallory was not coming back up. It took over 30 minutes for first responders to arrive. There was confusion over the location. The group was injured in shock and panicking. By the time officers arrived, Paul was laughing, drunk, barefoot, walking around like nothing had happened. He refused to cooperate, refused to answer questions. His father, Alex Murdaugh, was already making moves behind the scenes, and the effort to make sure Paul never paid the price had already begun. But before that, there was still one question left unanswered. Where was Mallory Beach? And for the next 8 days, the Lowcountry would hold its breath, waiting to find out. For a while, it looked like Paul Murdaugh might just walk away from it all. He had been charged with 3 felony counts of boating under the influence, BUI, one for causing Mallory Beach's death, and 2 for causing serious injuries to Connor Cook and Morgan Doty. But if anyone expected swift justice, they didn't know how things worked in the Lowcountry. Paul was never arrested in the traditional sense. No mugshot, no time behind bars, no handcuffs. Instead, he walked into court, signed some paperwork, and walked right back out. No travel restrictions, no ankle monitor, nothing. Mallory Beach's family was in a courtroom grieving their daughter. Paul, he was back to living his life. The case dragged on for 2 years, delayed, postponed, stalled. If you ask the Beach family, it wasn't hard to figure out why. Justice moves slowly when the defendant's last name is Murdaugh. But before Paul ever saw the inside of a courtroom, the case came to a violent and shocking end. On the night of June 7th, 2021, Paul Murdo and his mother, Maggie Murdo, were brutally shot and killed at their hunting estate, Moselle. And just like that, Paul's trial would never happen. The charges against him were dropped, not because he was innocent, but because he was dead. And the biggest question in South Carolina became, who killed Paul and Maggie Murdo, and why? While the criminal case against Paul vanished overnight, the civil lawsuits against his family did not. The Beach family had filed a wrongful death lawsuit against multiple parties, including Alex Murdo, the bar that served Paul alcohol, and Parker's convenience store, where Paul had illegally purchased the beer that started the night. They weren't looking for revenge. They were looking for accountability. And the lawsuit started digging deep into the Murdaughs' finances, which, as it turned out, was the last thing Alex Murdo wanted. By 2023, Parker's convenience store agreed to a $15 million settlement with the Beach family, covering damages for Mallory's wrongful death. For Parker's, it wasn't about admitting fault. It was about avoiding the risk of a trial. Because in South Carolina, if you sell alcohol to a minor and that minor causes a fatal accident, you can be held liable. And with Paul Murdaugh's history of drinking well documented, Parker's was looking at a long, expensive legal battle. So they settled. And the Beach family got justice, at least the kind money can buy. Meanwhile, Connor Cook, the friend who had been pressured into silence after the crash, filed his own lawsuit against Alex Murdaugh. He claimed that Alex and others tried to frame him for the crash, that he had been manipulated into hiring a lawyer who was secretly working for the Murdaughs, that they had tried to ruin his life to save Paul's. His lawsuit is still ongoing. But what's clear is that Mallory Beach's death didn't just lead to legal trouble for Paul. It led to the complete unraveling of the Murdaugh dynasty. For decades, Alex Murdaugh had been a respected attorney in South Carolina. But when the Beach family's lawsuit forced him to open up his finances, a much darker reality came to light. Millions of dollars were missing. Clients' money, settlement funds gone. And when investigators started looking, they realized it wasn't just a mistake. It was fraud. Over $8 million stolen. And suddenly, the powerful Murdo name wasn't a shield anymore. The walls were closing in on Alex. And 3 days before he was scheduled to testify in the Beach lawsuit, Paul and Maggie were murdered. At first, Alex played the grieving husband and father. He gave interviews, talked about how much he loved his family. But behind the scenes, investigators were watching him. And what they found changed everything. Because as it turned out, the biggest threat to Paul Murdo wasn't an angry victim's family. It was his own father. In March 2023, a jury found Alex Murdo guilty of murdering Paul and Maggie Murdo. Prosecutors argued that Alex killed his wife and son to gain sympathy and to distract from his growing legal troubles. The jury agreed, and Alex Murdo was sentenced to life in prison. The same courtroom where his family had once controlled the law became the place where it finally caught up to them. And for the first time in a century, the Murdo name meant nothing. With Alex in prison and Paul dead, the Murdo empire crumbled. The family's massive hunting estate, Moselle? Sold. Their beach house? Gone. Their once powerful law firm? Dissolved. And the last surviving Murdo son, Buster? Living in isolation. He was dropped from the Beach lawsuit in 2023, but he's never escaped the public eye. Because when your last name is Murdo, there is no normal life anymore. Mallory Beach's death was supposed to be a tragic accident. Something that might have made the local news, but nothing more. Instead, it blew the lid off one of the biggest legal scandals in South Carolina history. Because the fight for justice for Mallory Beach didn't just expose Paul Murdo, it exposed his father, his family, the entire corrupt system they benefited from. It was the spark that brought down an empire. And it left people asking, if this could happen in Hampton County, how many times had it happened before? In the years since the crash, South Carolina has faced intense pressure to reform its laws. There have been discussions about closing loopholes in boating safety, about cracking down on underage drinking, and about making sure powerful families don't get to write their own rules. Because for decades, the Murdaughs operated in the shadows. And it took one tragedy, one girl's death, and one determined family to bring those shadows into the light. Mallory Beach should have made it home that night. She didn't. But what happened after? It made sure no one will ever forget her name.
He was charming, handsome, a devoted husband, a doting father. When his wife died tragically in a freak accident, everyone pitied him. He played the role so well, grieving widower, devastated, single dad, just trying to put the pieces back together. But the thing about perfect men, they're usually hiding something. And this one was hiding everything. The affair, the insurance policy, the other wife in another state who had no idea she was married to a walking crime scene. If she had only subscribed to True Crime Today, Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, she could have listened to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi ad-free. And before everyone else, she could have seen through the lies. She could have gotten out while she still had the chance. Instead, she's just another case we'll be covering next week. Don't be her. Subscribe now to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts.